Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. On this past weekend, there was a lot of news about what's going on, who's spying on whom. And, of course, we're going to sort it out because we know exactly what has gone on. We might have some theories and we might have some information, but we might point out some of the inaccuracies of what's going on. But the way I understand it is Trump, for various reasons, maybe it's what he believes to be true, maybe it's to change the nature of the conversation, but he said that that guy, President Obama, was spying on his campaign during the campaign. And, of course, that led to an uproar. Of course, the defenders of the president came out. They were just outraged. The CNA people and MSNBC, this couldn't be possible. And we have to get this guy to quit lying, you know, implying that Trump just makes this stuff up. And so in order to settle this, guess who they drag out to settle this thing on Trump? James Clapper.
There you go.
James Clapper lied before the Congress. They asked him, do you, as the director of DIA, did you ever spy on the American people? Oh, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. And it turned out he was lying through his teeth. So he's going to come out and square this. So it isn't the easiest thing in the world to find out who's telling the truth when the empire is existing because, you know, it's dependent on lying, you know, truth. They're not really looking for truth. They're looking for who's going to be the last one. I gotcha. So you're going to sort this all out for us and tell us why they were doing all this. And since we won't have the evidence, the really key here is, could Trump have some evidence? And maybe he isn't blowing smoke. Maybe this isn't just a trick to direct the media. Now, that I think would change a lot of things if he actually has some evidence. My position is, even if he doesn't have the evidence, that doesn't rule it out. Why would they leave a paper trail showing how dumb they were? You know, so it remains to be seen. But if they do have some evidence, I think that this thing is going to continue for a while.
Well, certainly seeing Washington at war with itself is a pleasant thing to see. I'm almost tempted to pop some popcorn because one of two things is going to happen, I think. Either we're going to be dealing with the biggest, greatest political scandal since Watergate, you know, which is an overused term, but I think really in this case it fits. Either that, or the president is going to show himself as astonishingly foolhardy, astonishingly, I mean, to have this tweet storm on Saturday morning making these accusations, if he doesn't have anything to back it up, he's going to look pretty unhinged.
Yeah, and then the people who are on both sides, I mean, here it is, the FBI director, Trump's own FBI director, hasn't come to his rescue at all. He says he thinks it might be true, you know, this sort of thing. You know,
he's undermined.
That Trump is overestimating.
Yeah, undermined. And it's weird because Comey now can't be fired in a way because he's contradicting his own president. And if it looked like there's fire where there's smoke, if Trump turns around and fires him for his subordination.
But we can always hope that the system works and that the Congress will have an investigation. They've already just started to do this. Sort it all out, and in about 2 or 3 years, tell us what it is, and they will be there. The goal of these investigations and commissions, my theory is, it's there to cover up, you know, the ineptness of government. But right now, we don't know who's in charge of the government. You know, the people in the government now, there's a bunch of them who are anti-Trump. Then we have Trump, and then we have the secret government, and then we have the leftover Obama group. And Obama, it looks like he's going to stay very active in politics. And that's one thing about the CIA, and I'm reading the history of the Kennedy assassination, is the CIA agents, people like Alan Dulles and all, they even when they leave the CIA, they had a lot to say about what was going on. So it is really a mixed bag. But in some ways, I think we can look at this as being symbolic of the chaos of government. You know, there was one theory of why people wanted to cheer on Trump was he was really hitting hard at the Republican establishment, which they deserved, you know, the Bush people versus the Trump people, that sort of thing. But I think this is even bigger than this. I think what's happening now is they're not just challenging the Republican establishment, but maybe the overall establishment, and it's not working very well. The system is breaking down, so people are scurrying around to see who gets to pick up the pieces, who's going to maintain the power, and I think that's what's really going on.
Yeah, it's interesting. President Obama had a strong reaction when he was first accused. He said, "I don't order wiretaps on any Americans." Of course, that's blatantly untrue, too, because we were just talking before the camera started. Remember the CIA wiretapping Senate staffers for the Senate Intelligence Committee when they were looking into CIA torture. They tapped that. And we also know that through Ed Snowden, that, as a matter of fact, they have listened to all our calls and tapped every one of us.
Well, we need Edward Snowden more now than ever to help sort this out, because we can't trust any one person. But I think the thing is a real mess, but hopefully some good will come of this by showing that the system is coming apart. And they're just fighting for control of it. And I think this is good. But in the meantime, lots of things can happen. Now, if Obama really did want some, surveillance of the Trump campaign, he's not going to send a memo. He's not going to send an email. Maybe Hillary would have. But he's not going to send an email. But they can do these kind of things, and they would deliberately not. And I keep thinking about back during Kennedy's assassination. I think 80% of the American people now believe that Kennedy was assassinated by insiders and probably the CIA was involved. But you're not going to go back and look at the records and find out where Alan Dulles sent the order out. Okay, this is it. We're going to have this thing to assassinate Kennedy. That's all done, rather quietly. So there's not going to be the evidence there. It's surprising that there is going to be. And right now, the reports are that Trump just might have a paper trail on that. And like you said, that could be big news if that's the case.
And there are a couple of things that suggest, we're just suggesting things now. We don't have the data. But according to several press reports, there were two separate FISA requests to wiretap the Trump Tower. And the first was refused. The second one was more narrow and was accepted. That's the claim. But we do know this. In the very last days of the Obama administration, if you remember, he signed that order that drastically expanded the NSA's authority to share raw intelligence data with other agencies. And I think that was the beginning of these leaks about Trump started coming out. So were those leaks based on the tapping of the telephone in Trump Towers? If there were no wiretaps, then what was the source of these claims that he colluded with the Russians? So it's...
Yeah, the Russian deal is a big issue. Matter of fact, I think strategically this is the big issue of all this. And some of this other is maybe distraction and just the political shenanigans that are going on. But I think the big coalition is the neocons, who won't be too harsh on Trump, but they will be certainly not, they're in the game of getting more neocons, anti-Russian people into the administration. They seem to be successful on this. I think it has all to do with Russia, but I don't think it has all to do with Russia interfering with our election. We were in pretty bad shape if the Russians can dictate our elections and that sort of thing. And of course, what we always point out is we've been involved in a lot more elections than any other country ever in the history of the world. But I think the big thing now, the strategy, is to keep the Cold War going on. It doesn't make any sense to us who can't stand the idea of why they do this and the finances of the military-industrial complex and all this. But they are determined to turn Russia into an enemy. And it's not because Russia is about to invade us, this sort of thing. So it's one of those things that sort of is there all along. And I think on all this, I sort of see them continuing to bash Russia on this. And I think maybe Trump was trying to deflect it and get it away from the direct subject of Russia. But I think Russia is still very much involved in this, more than just whether or not they were involved in the election.
Yeah, and Clapper was on Chuck Todd's show over the weekend, and he was asked about the evidence that he's seen. You know, he was the director of national intelligence. Have you seen any evidence backing up the case that the Russians were colluding in any way with the Trump campaign? He said, no, I've seen no evidence. Any evidence that the Russians were involved in the campaign? I've seen no evidence to that effect. And they said, but you still believe it's true? Yeah, I still believe it. Yeah. It's like faith-based intelligence. Yeah. You know, there's no evidence, but I still believe it, darn it. But you know, the question that we've always had, well, what specifically do they say Russia did to influence the elections? You know, did they, you know, grab some voters in the Midwest and force them to vote for Trump? I don't get that. We never hear what they want us to believe that Russia did.
I'm amazed that they hadn't. The administration hasn't done more to check about the votes in Detroit and a few other places where it's so blatant. You know, and if people ever wrote the real history of the honesty of elections in this country, I think it would be pretty astounding. Not that they can control them totally and completely, but believe me, there's been a lot of shenanigans going on in our elections for a long time. But I think this chaos is a reflection of the end of an era, and the era is that of interventionism in economics, too much intervention in our personal liberties and the TSA and all these things, too much intervention overseas, and it's not working, and the finances aren't there anymore, and therefore there's a lot of chaos going on, and nobody knows exactly you know what they're going to do about it, so they're fighting. And I think the tool that is used, we talk about lying and deceiving, but the tool, the word that I've used over the years, I think it describes it, is demagoguery. Mm. You know, it's a political thing where people lie and incite and distort, you know, for political reason. I think there's a lot of that going on. And the whole thing is a lot of people go to Washington, the people I saw coming into Congress, I think they come with very good principles and ideals and want to do the right thing, and they sort of get caught up in this. But just the nature of politics invites almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them, to become demagogues. You know, the distortion on how you run campaigns and how you raise money, how you talk to this group, and how you work with your, people who come in, the influence peddlers, and they do this. But I think it's very, I think it's a disease. It's a political disease, demagoguery. It's very, very contagious. Just about everybody catches it. But the problem is, I don't think there's a cure. I think the system eventually crumbles. The more chaotic the system, the more demagoguery goes on, because it's the lying that they gain power by, but not by saying, you know, the founders galvanized a nation by offering a set of principles, and that brought people together. But now that isn't it. What we're doing is destroying the republic by a set of unprincipled, you know, just lying and stirring up trouble because they won't deal with the problems. They're not are they talking about the disintegration of the republic? Are they talking about the disintegration of the monetary system? Are they talking about the insanity of our foreign policy? That's all off someplace. It's all this sinister stuff on how, who can contrive to get position and make more money and turn Russia into the cause of all our problems. If it's not Russia, it's China, you know, this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you point out that people go in with the best of intentions. And if they want to stay, I got an interesting letter this morning from someone who watches our shows. He says watches every show. He was a big, big supporter of yours during the first two presidential campaigns. And he said his turning point was when he saw the way they treated you, the way the system treated you. Because, you know, a lot of people say they followed your campaigns, you inspired them to go into politics. He came with a different conclusion. He said when he saw what they did to you, he realized that was not the way, and he determined to start the most successful business he possibly could, and that's what he's doing. So that's another interesting...
Yeah, and that subject has come up a lot from young people, and they want to know, you know, what they should do to become a congressman. Don't set that as your goal. I mean, I know I use the political system, but I like to give the advice about people who are wondering what they can do, the advice that Leonard Reed passed out generously over many decades. And Leonard Reed of the Foundation of Economic Education says that your first responsibility is dealing with yourself, improving oneself, becoming well-educated and understanding, and never being confrontational. And when the time comes that people respect your views, you'll have something to do. You know, the people will come to you. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because I think even when people are right, but if they're tough and mean and insistent, their tone is different and isn't achieved, you can't achieve it. But the political system, I see the political system and all that we see here is a reflection of what the attitude of the people have been. The people have endorsed Keynesianism. They endorse welfare. They endorse government medicine, federal government control of education. It's been endorsed. It's philosophically ingrained. And you hear some good conservatives, yeah, I agree with you, but you just can't do it because the system is so powerful. So you do have to change the minds of the people. That, of course, is why I like to go to college campuses and spend some time this last weekend with a lot of young people who are very serious-minded, and they're not representative of that crowd that people detest on these college kids only getting into trouble and problems. There's a lot of them out there, but once again, it's a numbers game. It's not a numbers game. You have to have some key individuals who become leaders, who understand the message of liberty, understand the non-aggression principle, and believe me, there is a vacuum out here. What I see here is the reaction to the vacuum, and people are scurrying around, and there's chaos there. But I believe very sincerely that this vacuum can be filled, because the one thing for sure is the libertarian ideas are growing in spite of what's happening in Washington, in spite of what happens in elections and what is on the surface. Underneath, the libertarian message is spreading, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for it, and I believe there could be historic changes as this evolves. Not next week, not next month, not next year, but in the next decade or so. I think there's no reason in the world not to believe that libertarian ideas, the ideas of liberty, can't be expanded and improved and progress made from the time that they were spoken rather clearly 200-300 years ago, and especially with the founding of this country. I see that that possibility of progress is very, very apparent to many people, and I'm optimistic that that will happen. But in the meantime, we will keep describing and talking to them and trying to sort out these problems of this back and forth, who did what, and do our best to deliver to you the truth as we see it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report, and please come back soon.